Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Nutritional Endocrinology Open Coaching Call for, we're in the end. It's our last one in the month of March. So I'm here to support you in whatever way you need. I know a couple of people uploaded some labs, and if you have any open questions and concerns and whatever, these calls are for whatever it is that you want to cover. Avi, Elaine, hi. And Michelle, hi.
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 Labs that have all been uploaded for today are Dutch tests. So.
All Dutch tests. Okay, awesome. Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to, if I could, give you guys a brief update.
Yeah, we want an update.
Well, today I went into court again, and she is now 170 pounds.
Mm.
And, yeah, keep in mind she's only 5 feet tall. And her lawyer,
right? That's what they think is healthy.
Ooh. Yeah, well, yeah. Her lawyer, again, voiced her concern. And now all of a sudden, the department, I guess, is getting a lot of heat. And therefore, they're saying that they need to look into it. I see this as being my inroads because thanks to all the wonderful training that you guys have given me, it gives me a lot to bring them in terms of documentation. And also they're finally acknowledging what I've been telling them from the very get-go, which is that she has food sensitivities. And that more than likely has a lot to do with not only her psychological symptomology, but also the fact that she's constantly bloating. Of course, they're still going down another rabbit hole. Every 5 seconds, they want to know if she's pregnant. And today they approached me about putting her on a birth control method. And I said, why is that even an issue? Are you guys not able to keep up with her or something?
I mean,
what's going on here? And the doctor that I had her with, she was able to run another sensitivity panel. And of course, it came up with the same things that she was sensitive to. And now they're even saying, oh, well, maybe we have to look into actually sending her to school with lunch. And I'm like, duh. And it's fascinating how everything that I had her on is what they're now looking at being what she needs to be on. And in fact, I looked at the report from the facility where their nurse says that her target weight is going to be 90 to 100 pounds. And I said, hello, that's what she was when you guys took her in the first place.
Oh. It is
insane. They are driving me up the wall. And now I'm going on to my third attorney because I had to fire the other two. And so there was a continuance and we're not going to be back in court until the middle of April. So it's just really crazy. And right now, that I'm just trying to get as much leverage as I need. And that's why, you know, I need to get my certification completed so that I can present that to them also. And I'm going to actually sit down with the person that is still her healthcare provider, the one that I chose. And she finally completed her functional medicine certification. And I said to her, well, you know what? From the very beginning, I asked you to present to them the IFM cardiometabolic meal plan as what I've been doing, and that's what she needs. So now that you're a certified functional medicine doctor, you need to get behind this because this is what my daughter needs.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I'm going to keep on advocating, and we'll see how it goes. I'll keep you guys updated.
Please keep us up to speed. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next time this comes around, she will have lost some of that 170 pounds if they do the right thing.
Well, I'm hoping that they will allow me to navigate the waters because I said, you know, the reality is this is my forte. This is what I'm good at. I'm good at helping people to create meal plans that eliminate food triggers. And I said, the reality is that the other part of this is that we have to heal the leaky gut. They are totally clueless about that whole aspect of it. Because,
you have to use the term increased intestinal permeability because leaky gut sounds too colloquial, But we've got inflammation and in increased gut permeability, intestinal permeability. The most technical you can sound.
I'm hoping this will also allow me to get the testing that I want. You know, not only a comprehensive thyroid panel, because they smacked her on a thyroid hormonal replacement quicker than you can say your name. And when I asked about what testing they were basing this on, that's when they clammed up and said, oh, well, you know, you don't have any legal rights here. And so I got clarification from the judge today. He wrote up an order saying that my parental rights are intact and that I'm supposed to have access to all of her records. And then I'm supposed to be part of the decision-making process.
Great. That's a huge step.
Great. Yeah.
Awesome. I was, you know, looking at your face and trying to read you as I was introducing and going, did this go well? Did it not go well? You were good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Phew. Just keep it up, right? We have to fight for the rights to just eat healthy food. It's really sad.
Exactly.
And, you know, that a parent could have a child taken away for feeding her healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's insanity. And this has got to stop.
And I was able to pull up data from the USDA with their new guidelines. I don't know if you've seen it, the 2015 to 2020 guidelines, where they have a new 9-inch plate and half of it is vegetables. And quarter of it is grain and quarter of it is protein. So, you know, that's what I'm going to be taking with. I even went and I bought the actual plate.
Because good.
Because it's a little plate that has the little portions.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to give to them and say, look, use this for my daughter. Have one at school and have one here at the center. And this is what she needs to be utilizing.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. No, I hadn't heard about that. I don't know how that got buried.
I'll send it to you because I was surprised, the USDA. Yeah. And they even talked about the old guidelines and now the new guidelines, the fact that they're making a push for the Mediterranean type diet. And they talked about the new portion sizes and the new portion sizes. They said like with grains should be no more than, say, 3 15-gram portions. And so, you know, just tremendous amount of information that's out there.
That's great.
The 45 that they were there balking at me about, you know, and they have more emphasis on the vegetables and to use the starchy vegetables instead of the grains. So, you know, just a lot. And they even have the vegetarian version. So, yeah.
Why isn't this getting more press? I'm shocked that this hasn't gotten, like,
I was shocked when I found it myself. I was like, whoa. Because I was
burying it. The food companies are doing stuff to bury it, right?
Yeah, and it popped up. And I was surprised when I saw the USDA insignia at the bottom. I was like, whoa, the USDA? Oh, my God. This is like, whoa. Yay.
Yay. Okay, good. We're making progress. Yay. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. And let's just keep going there. You got the FDA on your side now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, thank you. Super. So we had a couple of cases and they look like they're all Dutch tests. And I don't know, Lynn can tell me what order. I think Isabel's came in first. So we'll go with Isabel and then yours and V-Elaine's.
Actually, V-Elaine's came in before mine.
Oh, it came in before yours. Okay. Honesty. She's the kid that always told the truth to mom and got in trouble for the siblings, I bet. All right. I have.
Actually, I want to learn from everybody first.
Okay. So I'm going to, you know, for those of you who've done it before, I know V-Elaine hasn't seen them much before. I'm going to have you guys give me what you're seeing and what you, whoops, my desk. Okay, there we go. Is this, which
this is mine.
That's yours, Isabel?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So tell us a little bit about this person.
Okay. So this person is 30 years old and she has she had Graves' disease and had thyroid taken out and radiation and now she's hypothyroid. So she still has antibody. And so that's the main issue, is the thyroid issue and lack of energy.
Yeah.
Sleep pattern, not so much having trouble going to bed, but like staying asleep several times throughout the night, and then still wake up really tired.
Okay.
But diet's not clean, and works stress from work. Mm-hmm. Going to bed too late, like 1 or 2 o'clock. So going to bed too late. So lifestyle definitely needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Is she taking any hormonal replacement? Is she taking any progesterone or pregnenolone?
She's taking thyroid, and she's taking an antidepressant. I don't remember which one she's taking. And she is taking DHEA.
Okay.
And pregnenolone. Yes, she's taking
that. Okay. Yes. All right, so we'll look at the pathway, because she's taking, this is an unusual situation when you see at progesterone dominance. But progesterone dominance is associated with depression. So I'm not surprised that she's on an antidepressant, right? So when, tell me about her periods. Does she have like PMS-y type periods, get more depressed around her periods? Second half of the cycle.
I haven't heard. Yeah, I haven't.
Those are good questions to ask.
I could ask it. Okay.
So what is that second half of the cycle like? And this was taken on day 19 or 20 typically, right? So this is when the progesterone's peaking, but it's peaking way higher than it should be peaking. And that will oftentimes trigger the kind of PMS called PMSD, PMS depressive type. If she's taking pregnenolone, and we look down at the pathway, she's going down to progesterone. It means she's not going across and converting down. We'll show you in the picture in a minute. Not going across and converting more into estrogens and having it be more managed and equal. Okay. She might be a good candidate for, first of all, cleaning up her diet first, see how she does. And if that doesn't get better with that, then doing a cycle mapping with the Dutch does a cycle mapping. So the follow-up
would be a cycle. I have cycle. So cleaning out the diet, that's a challenge. So, well, this is my sister. So,
so lovely.
So I've been talking to her for, better. She's getting better, but it's still a challenge for her. And she's got really demanding schedule. So she doesn't cook. So she eats out a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does she want to get well?
She does. She does wants to get well, and she's go through points where she's like, oh yes, I want to get well, and start doing and does more than others, and then work takes over, then she lets her help kind of.
So she's clearly she wants it, but not really badly, right?
No, not bad.
Right, not bad enough to figure out ways to manage a difficult and stressful life. Mm-hmm. We all have difficult and stressful lives, and we totally get it. But we also know that it's very easy to walk to the refrigerator and grab some whole produce and a handful of nuts and, a piece of something and have a healthy meal versus the excuses, right? So is she overweight?
No, she's very skinny.
Very skinny. So she's, if you look at her adrenals, not surprising she's having difficulty waking up, right? If you look at the nighttime cortisol, look at where it is. It's way up at the top. Mm-hmm. Her daytime, she's probably tired throughout the day. Her daytime is at the low end or below the low end.
Yeah.
And then she's at the high end in the morning, just pulling in from the night. So her cortisol, her total 24-hour free cortisol is, on the lower quartile, whereas her metabolized is over on the high. So she's making a lot of cortisol. She's making a lot.
Okay.
The free, it's not necessarily being converted real well into free.
Okay.
And her DHA is there where it's at because of taking it, but you have to be careful that she's not taking too much DHEA because it can suppress cortisol.
Okay, just taking like one or two drops, not a whole lot. Yeah.
One or two drops once or twice a day, or
once a day. She's only okay. doing
that's one. That shouldn't trigger it. That should be, you know, a decent amount to keep her from being in the toilet with the DHA. But that would explain why the DHA is decent compared to the estrogen and the testosterone. So we'll look
it
a little bit.
Not be I don't think she's taking. She was taking when she took the test for a while. Let me check with her.
Usually they tell you to get off of it for at least 72 hours, I think.
Okay, she was at least off. She might even be off for a few weeks.
Okay.
Before this test.
Well, a few weeks would, then there's something going on with her making too much progesterone. So we'll look at that.
Okay.
And what is her diet like? You said it's not that great.
So her diet, she still eats gluten and bread, and she has some fruits, maybe one salad a day, like 2-3 servings of vegetables a day. Protein, she eats animal protein. She needs to have her protein.
Does she eat organic animal protein? Or
No, I don't think so.
You got a lot to work with her, right?
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, I think your biggest challenge, and because it's a family member, right, is getting her really connected to the importance of this. Okay. So, she lost her thyroid, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She might have saved her thyroid had she consulted with you a few years back and got your help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she's already lost one organ.
Yes. Okay. She still has some. She did radiation. She still has a little bit left, but her endocrinologist doesn't think it's active.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's active.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of thyroid replacement is she on?
She is on, I think she's just on Thenthroid, T4. She's just on T4. And she lives in Taiwan, so they weren't able to get some of the tests, but she was here a few months ago. So I had, we went to see another doctor. They prescribed, he prescribes Armour. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to give that a try and see if that would help.
Well, before you just have her, when she was here, did you have her run a full thyroid panel?
No, just to get the T3 and T4 because she wasn't able to get T3 in Taiwan.
Okay. And is she converting? Did you talk to her about converting? Because
she was a little bit low. I remember.
I wouldn't be surprised given the stress, right? Because of the effects of cortisol mm-hmm. on that conversion, right? So just putting her on Synthroid is not a good idea. So the Armour is a much better idea. But again, you know, I don't know how well the doctors over there, that you're saying they don't do the T3s or?
No, they don't do T3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her doctor is pretty open. I went with her to see her endocrinologist and she's pretty open and she did some research when she's not familiar mm-hmm. with Armour. So she did some research and give her some feedback on how to.
Good. Yay. Well, that's good. That's positive. Mm-hmm. Now, her estrogen levels are really low. So if her ratios are off, we're not as concerned at having a high 4-hydroxy because she's just got so very little to begin with. But if you look, she's decently balanced, actually, in mm-hmm. terms of the estrone, estradiol, and estriol. The estriol is actually a little bit higher than the other two. Mm-hmm. So if we were to do the ratio, it's still a little on the lower side, but it's much better than a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
When we look down to her 16-4, and they used to give you two little graphs, the normal and the not normal, but her safe one, the 2-hydroxy, is 57. So it's a little bit on the lower side than what we'd like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Her 4 is 16.2, so it's higher.
Mm-hmm.
And the 16 is what does it say? 26.6. So it's right within the range. So the balance between the 2 and the 4, like I said, because she's got such low levels of estrogen, that's not like presenting an immediate breast cancer risk. But the way to explain to her is that if you want your estrogens to be in a safe level, you can help yourself prevent estrogen sensitive cancers. Right? So uterine cancer, breast cancer. So I'm just trying to think in terms of how do you mm-hmm. talk to her about making the changes in her diet? Because that's going to be the big critical piece, huge critical piece.
Yeah.
And explaining to her, you know what? My magic wand is broken. Mm-hmm. And I can't waive it and say, okay, just because you're my sister, I'm going to let you get away with not doing the diet and the lifestyle things. And we're going to wave the magic wand and here's some herbs, take these and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Right? It doesn't work that way. So clearly she's open because she's involved you. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, she's just very open to, you know, suggestions and just doing it, implementing it. That is the challenge.
The challenge, yeah. Right? Yeah. Which goes back to that whole, I know I'm a harper on that, but, and Tony will support me on this one. Mm-hmm. Got to get them back to commitment. Mm-hmm. Why does she want this? Why does she want this to get better?
Yeah.
And how committed is she to mm-hmm. do it? Right? Mm-hmm. You get married, you commit to a person. It's not always easy, right? Sometimes yeah. it's really challenging, but you made a commitment. So mm-hmm. you stick with it to try to make things right. And the same thing with raising children, very difficult thing. And you don't give up halfway because it's too hard. Same thing with the health. And she has to understand that, because if she was doing lots of things right and only a few things wrong, it'd be like, mm-hmm. okay, let's really hone in on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if it's everything is a mess, you know, it's kind of difficult. So I'm looking at her methylation. Her methylation there's no indication that there's a methylation issue, because her methyl mm-hmm. form is actually higher than her hydroxy form. You see that down at the bottom? So I'm looking for things to use as like incentives here, like, oh yeah, your liver's messed up, your methylation's bad, you have to do a liver cleanse. Not seeing that. The hydroxy is definitely higher, and there's a chart in several places in NEPT, but one is in one of the earlier modules on the overview. Mm-hmm. I think it's like the second module, and there's a chart of estrogen metabolism. I use it over and over again, and it shows all the things that make 4-hydroxy higher and that interfere with the 2-hydroxy. And if you can, even if she likes to see things in black and white, let her see it and go, look, yours is higher. It should be much lower. As you get in balance and you start to produce more estrogen mm-hmm. and address this situation, this is a problem, right? And the way that you solve that problem is the cruciferous vegetables and mm-hmm. getting off of gluten and getting the inflammation down and optimizing that metabolism, the liver metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and she's balanced here. She's balanced, you know, it's a slightly higher on the alpha reductase, but she's definitely balanced there. Mm-hmm. Pretty balanced anyway. Her adrenals again, yeah, she's got those really high peaks. So you can address her to help her get sleep. You know, you might look at some of the things that would dampen that cortisol response at bedtime, right? Mm-hmm. So magnolia, phosphatidylserine, mm-hmm. And then the general relaxing herbs, you know, like lemon balm and milky oat and things like that, or passion flower. She's busy person, right? To calm that response at night so she can fall asleep,
mm-hmm.
right? But otherwise, you know, the free versus the metabolized or the free versus the cortisone, the storage, is fairly equal. She actually has a little bit more in storage
mm-hmm.
than she's using. So nothing terrible there. The pregnenolone, I'm concerned that the pregnenolone might be raising the progesterone, but on the other hand, you said if she hadn't taken it for several weeks, her melatonin is in a decent range. I mean, you can always optimize it by, you know, talking to her about general sleep hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And her oxidative stress is within range.
Yeah.
On the low end. So mm-hmm. overall, she's not doing too bad. I mean, she's still old, right?
Mm-hmm. So I know that's like, oh, your test doesn't look too bad. So
it's like I'm looking, I'm searching, right? But the 4-hydroxy is percentage-wise higher and the 2 mm-hmm. is lower. So, you know, getting her to eat more veggies and less grain and less of the other crap. I mean, just start with talking to her about getting, I don't know how available it is in Taiwan, but commercial type.
Yeah, there are a few organic shops around her office. So I've been trying to, you know, just get things from there. Instead of just, it's very easy to buy off the street. It's just, now it's very, very easy and very inexpensive. So that's.
So that's good. So it's not like here where it is cost prohibitive. I'm looking at my, I'm tilting my monitor. So if I look weird, just because I can see this and I can't see the little thing that makes it go. So I'm looking at, if you can see, progesterone. Here, you know what? I think I can open the whole thing in another, let me open the whole thing in another window and then flip the whole thing. Is that yours? No. Nope. There we go. Okay. Is it now? And this was case one or case two? I don't remember.
Case one should be.
Okay. I'll open
Isabella?
It again.
Isabella?
Case two. That's case. Okay, this is a. That's.
Let's say it again. It's the same one.
No, this is different.
Oh, it's a different one. All right. Yeah, no, 58 years old. I'm going to make a copy of it in the folder. And then it'll be copy, paste. No, copy.
Isabella?
Mm-hmm.
What are her eating habits at night?
She eats late. And so she eats pretty late. Her whole circadian rhythm is kind of off. So she gets up like at 12 noon, well, 10, and she kind of gets to work at 12, and that's when she has her meal. Then she probably sometimes have two meals. I think she has two meals a day. And then she eats around 8.
8 at night. But then you said she goes to bed at 2.
She gets to bed, 12 is early for her, like maybe around 1.
And what does she stay up doing?
Their work hour is from like 12 to 8 or 9. So she gets home and then she wind down and I think she's still working, like, you know.
Works at home?
Works at home. Yeah.
So would that factor into her high cortisol at night since she's up so late?
It could, I mean, it depends on what time she took it. Like, did she take it at midnight? Did she take it at 10? I think it's also becomes a pattern, right? It becomes something that gets habituated, and then the cortisol goes up, and then it's, regardless of whether it's because she's staying up late, or not, she's still having difficulty falling asleep because it's high.
Asleep is not a problem.
Or waking up, I see.
Yeah, waking up a few times, not getting quality sleep.
Yeah, how many times does she wake up?
She probably wakes up 2-3 times.
And then do you know what times? Because that makes a difference too.
No, I have to ask her.
So find out what times, and then see if you can correlate that with the Chinese medicine chart, right? Okay. Like which organs are active at that time and see which ones. And it also depends, like, is she going through a whole sleep cycle and then she's not sleeping deeply and she wakes up, like a sound wakes her up, or just she wakes up out of it. So that's a good thing to check. Like, how long does she stay asleep each time? And is it fairly consistent?
Okay.
Right. So I'm going to try switching this. Does anybody know how to do this? How do you do?
I'm trying to see her T3. I don't see it.
I don't know how to do it in this particular thing. How to look at this and swap it. I made a copy of it so I could. Here we go. Nope, I won't do it. Anyway, the thing I'm looking at, because of the high levels of progesterone. So I'm looking, you know, biochemically, she goes from cholesterol to pregnenolone. You can see that, right? You're reading sideways.
Yeah.
And then to progesterone. But she's staying really high at progesterone rather than going down the other pathways. Yeah, she's getting decent amounts of cortisol, but she's not going down these pathways. So I would be looking at, well, what are some of the cofactors for the enzymes that would take progesterone down to the androgens and the estrogen, and also the same thing with the pregnenolone, taking it down there. It's almost like she has the opposite of aromatase inhibition, excess aromatization. Like she doesn't have enough aromatization. That's really rare, right? That's that we don't see that all that much. Mm-hmm. We usually see the opposite. So I would do, and I know I've done some research on that, and I think it has something to do with insulin resistance, but I don't remember exactly. But looking at these, so these different, this is a lyase enzyme. This one's the same one, right? So it's the same one that's going, whether she makes it to progesterone or tries to go this direction. So this enzyme is maybe inhibited. And then from the testosterone was actually decent, was a low end of normal, but decent. Mm-hmm. So then what's happening going down from the testosterone down into the estrogen? So we have this pathway here, which is, it's aromatase, CYP19. So looking to see what's happening there. Why is that inhibited? And I'm trying to see this. Let me see if I can scroll over.
So with the overproduction of progesterone, what are some of the negative impact?
Depression.
Okay.
Yeah, depression for sure. Okay, so then if we get over to testosterone here, this will say what inhibits and what made in the testes in men. Yeah, so she may have a deficiency or an excess. So here's the decrease, right here. Decreases. The things that decrease that conversion, that aromatase, she want to look at those factors. Does she have a zinc deficiency? And these are some things that might, if she's on any of these things, that might inhibit. So zinc is a possibility. She's probably not on any of these things.
Yeah,
we wanted to increase it. Well, she doesn't have excess adipose. She may have some inflammation. You know, those are the typical aroma. Mm-hmm. You know, the things we try to inhibit.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm seeing in here. Let me see. Did she? This was done recently, so she should have the organic acid page, right?
No, this organic acid was this year. So this was done. Yeah, right before.
Oh, right before they started it. Okay.
Yeah, right before they started, yeah.
I do not suspect I have Addison's. I do suspect I have adrenal fatigue, chronic fatigue, Cushing's, high blood pressure. And because she's had an autoimmune disease, right? Graves is an autoimmune disease. Yes. Mm-hmm. Her immune system's attacking itself, right? So making her aware that immune it came off when I was trying to do the thing. There we go.
She's got a lot of inflammation. Like she has bacteria overgrowth for a while. Mm-hmm. So in the vagina area.
Okay.
And so she was on different antibiotic, and she developed sensitivity to it. So she can't be on antibiotics. So I gave her some yeast. Suppository that seemed to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking her doctor to find out if they could test what bacteria that they're finding.
Right. And so all of that stuff is good, right? But there's not something that's jumped, the progesterone, high progesterone, and that can be contributing to the depression. The cortisol levels high at night can be contributing to her not staying asleep. Mm-hmm. Right. So I would look at some of those herbs. Those herbs could also help with depression and with mood. So, you know, they're just nervines. They calm the nerves. Mm-hmm. So I would look at those. I would look at the possibility of magnolia or phosphatidylserine.
Okay.
And I get more information. I get more information about her depression. Is it cyclical? Is it related to?
No, I think she's just been on medication for so long. I don't think she is depressed, like symptom-wise depressed. But she she had been on medication, the depression medication, for years before she was. I think she was more on, she was unstable. But now,
so they've stabilized her, but this means that she still has that tendency, and it's sad, but they don't generally want to take people off of antidepressants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. She may no longer need them, but she may, but get the pattern of the depression before she went on. So before you went on antidepressants, mm-hmm. what was the pattern of your depression? Was it worse in the second half of your cycle or the first half of the cycle? Mm-hmm. Did it seem to be worse around the middle of the cycle? Mm-hmm. Was there any pattern to it? Did it seem to be worse with certain foods, certain holidays? Mm-hmm. I mean, just try to really get, when you're doing a workup for depression, like really, a lot of questions. And I know it's hard with family members because they don't tend to answer real well, and they just don't, they tend to blow you off. I get that totally. But this is the kind of, anytime you have somebody who has a history of depression and they're on antidepressants, you want to find out what kind of antidepressants. Are they working? How well are they working? Because that gives you an idea immediately of what the mechanism of the depression is. They say, oh yeah, I'm on SSRIs. It was like night and day. I went on these drugs and I felt amazing from the very beginning. Whoa, this person was dealing with low serotonin, effectively low serotonin levels, right? Mm-hmm. What do I know how to do to help them to boost their own serotonin naturally, right? So this is a case where, Isabel, I don't see that there, other than addressing the stress levels at night and addressing the diet, mm-hmm. And whatever nutrient deficiencies those, that diet could lead to, you can give her the nutrient assessment questionnaires mm-hmm. and see, right? And then get her on the specific foods. Say, okay, we need to get you on these foods, these foods, these foods, try to displace it and work on her willingness, work on her why, mm-hmm. and work on, if you have to, the fear factor, mm-hmm. right? What does this mean? You're 30 years old, girl. Right? What's it going to be like at 50 if you don't change this? Mm-hmm. You can develop another autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
Rheumatoid arthritis, and it can leave you in debilitating pain. Mm-hmm. It could be something else. It causes your hair to fall out. It could be lupus. But these diseases tend to go in clusters, and you've got rid of your thyroid, but that wasn't causing your disease. Mm-hmm. Your disease was being caused by what? The diet, the lifestyle, the nutrient imbalances, toxicity, et cetera. And you didn't change those things, mm-hmm. right? So that's the case where you've got to be really firm with her, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So the thing that makes this case more complex is that she's related to you.
Yeah.
And the relationship.
She's pretty open to suggestion. I just have to get her to do it.
You are right. But that open to suggestion and doing it means she's not open to suggestion. If she's not doing it, mm-hmm. she's not open to suggestion. Anybody can listen.
Yeah.
It's acting on it. That means they're open to suggestion. Mm-hmm. If they don't act on it, your suggestion is just as good as anything they've read or heard about anywhere else. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
All right. Thanks. So I know you had one more. Let me move on to Violaine's and then Lynn's, and then I'll come back and do yours.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'm going to have you tell me what you see. I know I said that before, but it was too tempting for me. I like these tests. But okay. Where is it? Okay. Isabel case. Okay. We're going to go to Violaine. Okay. Let me get rid of this thing at the top. How do I get rid of that without getting rid of the whole thing? I don't know how that came, where that came from. Okay, so Violaine, tell us about, this is a 49-year-old. Is this you? This is you, right? Okay, open your, unmute yourself.
I used to do that. Okay, hi.
Hi.
So this is me, and so I was wondering, I did this test in January, I believe. What mm-hmm. is the test? Oh, yeah.
It says January 1/12. Yep.
Okay. And I was not taking any, I was just thyroid medication, mm-hmm. NP thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And that said, I had I wanted to do the test before. I needed to check the adrenal. I stopped taking the pregnenolone and the DHEA last year.
Mm-hmm. Did you stop or did you wean yourself off?
I kind of weaned myself off over, yes.
And were you paying attention? I'm just going to ask in here because this is a mistake a lot of folks make, and I want to make sure that everybody's real clear that when you go on those supplementation and then you see the results and everything looks good, the best way to do it would be slight drop in the dose, run the test again. Slight drop in the dose, run the test again. And find a dose. You may not be able to go completely off. You may have to stabilize at a certain dose and stay there. Or if you drop your dose and you drop, everything drops, then you know you have to go back up to that dose. You have a very stressful lifestyle. So a lot of that stuff isn't going away. And you may need to be on adrenal support consistently as long as you're in a stressful situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it depends the kind of stress. I stopped because I took the hormones for 2 years, and I thought it was time to just get off of it. And I was feeling pretty good, but everything declined after that. I started to get thyroid issues. My TSH and my T3, my T4s went out of balance in June last year. I was looking at my test. But, you know, it was okay. I got switched medication too. So I got a little bit checked up. I was taking WP thyroid, and then I was not able to get that anymore. Right. So I was put on NP thyroid. Mm-hmm. And I was too low when I did the test again in the fall. Mm-hmm. So I could tell that from June to I went on. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to do the Dutch test. And it was a whole big issue because I'm not really legally supposed to do that. But I did it legally. I went to Connecticut to do it. They had me sign a paper. To be able to do that. So since I wanted to do that one, I didn't do the other one. And I was not going to take the hormone before. I wanted to see what I was looking like before getting back on it. But I could tell I needed to get back on it.
Yes.
So I went back on it.
Taking pregnenolone and DHEA. Were you also taking progesterone or just those? Yeah. Okay.
Oh no, I'm not using anything. Just the pregnenolone and the DHEA from
BioHub and adaptogens too, ashwagandha or Tulsi or anything like that.
On and off. Maybe not enough of. I'm going for. I was taking astragalus lately. I go on and off with the herbs.
Okay. Tell me about your periods, your menstrual history. Are you starting to go into menopause yet?
Yeah, this is when it started too last year, when I stopped also the pregnenolone and DHEA.
Yeah, it's helping you make those hormones, right? It was giving you a precursor to make some of those hormones, so it was keeping you steady. Yeah, so you're starting
to go into menopause. Yeah, I started to skip last year, and then I did this test. It was my my last period, and then last month I was like spotting, and now I'm not getting my period again.
Yeah. So you see you see these numbers, right?
Yes.
They're even low for menopausal, right? With the menopausal, they should be, you know, between the star and the purple, and you're way down at the purple.
Yeah.
So you're even low for menopausal levels.
Huh.
Okay. Your testosterone's very low.
It's weird that I was still having a period then.
Well, you know how it goes. It just works. Yeah. It fades out.
Yeah, it's fading, definitely.
Yeah. And it fluctuates constantly. If you look at your DHEA without it, you're actually making a decent amount. You know, it's not great, but it's still, you're holding your own, let's just say.
Yeah, DHEA was very, very low when I first tested before I took bye, Cecilia. Oh, I'm sorry. I've been called. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm having an issue to resolve. She's not getting the, I have to make a call because my daughter is supposed to be picked up and she's not being picked up.
Do you want to go do that and then we'll come back to you?
Yeah, let me go call them. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. So let me go. That was Isabel's second case. Is this Lynn's? I don't know. I'm just trying getting rid of that at the top. No, I don't want to. How do you get rid of? I don't know why it's showing this thing at the top. Anybody, maybe it's that. There we go. All right. So is this Lynn's? No, that's still hers. 58-year-old, and all the stuff's off. Lynn, is this yours or is this Isabel's other one? 58-year-old, 38. Is this yours, Crystal? That's yours, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so what are her symptoms? She's 38.
Well, so Crystal is somebody that I know on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing all these different schools and so forth. And
schools, you mean?
Like, the Energetics Healing Institute and some of these other trainings. Mm-hmm. And so, which is how we started following each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she had made some comment about her adrenals and getting, looking to get a test. And I said, well, maybe you should consider a Dutch test. And she'd never heard of it. So I just gave her a link to look at it. And so lo and behold, she went and got it and she got the results. And she's like, I have no idea what this is about. And so we're actually scheduled to meet on Monday for me to go over this. And I've started doing it. And I did reach out to her with a few questions. It's actually started kind of like what you tell us. It's like, okay, where does everything go? You know, why? So right. Since cholesterol is kind of the precursor to many of these, I'm like, do you have any blood labs of cholesterol or something like that? And she didn't have that, but she did have a CBC. And so I was going through that and I'm looking at them and her eosinophils is a 6. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, do you have any parasites? And she said, I don't know. I don't think so. How do I test? And I'm thinking, what school are you going to? So anyway, so I suggested it. And I said, you know, some of the things that they'll talk about are, you know, H. pylori and Epstein-Barr. And she goes, oh, I've had Epstein-Barr for a really long time.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Have you done any foreign travel? Oh yeah, I go back and forth to Mexico. Okay. And so in, you can see here that her free and metabolized cortisols are both pretty low. And she's, there was one time a couple of years ago where, she was fearful that she was going to die. Again, It's a Facebook thing. I just, you know, I don't know her really well, but I do remember that period of time. She has 3 younger boys, and she's a single mother.
She exhausted all the time?
She's exhausted all the time.
Well, do we see why?
We see the results of this, and you know, I did ask her about what she eats, what she takes, any supplements. She's a very careful or almost fearful of taking supplements because that kind of started her in some of the spiral with the exhaustion. Mm. She has been taking a methylated multivitamin, some probiotics. I asked her what kind or what was in it. She wasn't sure at that moment. She sells Purium at the moment.
Mm.
And so she's taking her Purium shake, as she calls it, and she's doing a lot of vitamin C. So she has a vitamin C based powder. So she didn't have the brand name. She uses Baobab powder, which is high in vitamin C. Mm-hmm. She is taking some homeopathic remedy. It's an electrolyte remedy. Mm-hmm. It's a good brand, mm-hmm. especially after looking at what Lynn shared with us the other day. Mm-hmm. And because I follow her, I see what she eats, at least what she displays for us on there. And she does do a lot of those. Yeah, she seems to do that. She does. She says, I know I'm really bad with exercise. I maybe do some yoga now and then. And I said, that's really a good thing.
Yeah.
Because when you're in this stage, it's not
good. You shouldn't be doing a lot of exercise.
Yeah. She has a mini tramp. And so I said, maybe just sit on it and just kind of bounce a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you know, the gentle yoga is.
How's her weight? Is it high, low, medium?
She's medium to low.
Okay.
She didn't have an exact number, but I've seen her picture. She's not.
You've seen her. So you can usually tell by looking at their.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's.
She's got low hemoglobin, low iron. Her bun is 10, so it's low. Her sodium is high. It's at 152. Her potassium is 4.6. So that's high. Her chloride is 109. Her protein and albumin are both low at 6.5 and 2.0. Her alkaline phosphatase is 46. So again, looking at this, I'm assuming she's got a low testosterone. So I'm assuming she's estrogen dominant.
Well, she's not estrogen dominant here. If you look at her, she's actually menopausal at her estrogen level. Look at it, total estrogen.
Where are you?
Right here. Where's this one?
Ah, okay.
Okay, see how it's below the star?
Yeah.
She's in menopausal range on estrogen.
She's only 38.
And she's only 38. Her progesterone's decent. I would ask her if she's taking any progesterone or cream.
No, she's not doing anything like that. Okay. Yeah.
And her testosterone's super low. So, you know, we're not dealing with an aromatase. We're dealing with depletion. And her cortisol levels, the vitamin's good. She's taken a lot of vitamin C because the adrenal stress mm-hmm. will kill her vitamin C levels. The alk-phos says she's low in zinc. Zinc's super important for adrenal function.
She just started taking zinc. I asked her about that.
I would get her in a liquid.
Yeah, it is a liquid, but it's the absorption.
Yeah.
So,
well, the liquid's going to be absorbed much better, but, you know, she has low stomach acid, right? She has low protein, low bun, low albumin. So she's probably got low stomach acid and she's depleted. She's extremely depleted. So you got to look at how much is she eating? What's the breakdown of what she's eating? Is she chewing? Is she eating under a lot of stress, right? The stress eating and then doesn't absorb it, right?
Yeah. We did talk about the stress because she has, you know, a suicidal ex-husband. She's got these three boys. She's got family stress. And so we did talk a lot about that and the importance of just taking care of herself. And, you know, this is one thing I see just emotionally with people like her and then with Isabel's sister. It isn't so much that they don't want to, but there's something inside them that they don't feel worthy.
Deserving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, deserving. And so it's working with them, like Tony said, with mindset.
Yeah.
It's okay that you take care of yourself because if you don't,
you can't take care of anybody.
You can't take care of her, yeah. And Michelle, that was my original question to her is what's your cholesterol? And she didn't have that.
Yeah, that'd be good to know because if it was really low, you know, then she's got it. That's the difference than if she's really high.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people who are very depleted here will have high. Then we're looking at, I would look at B vitamins, you know, and of course, very good recommendations here. Looking at fasting insulin, what's this? Fasting insulin, yeah. This was Isabel's questions. Yeah, definitely. So looking at those levels, triglycerides and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked her for that.
Yeah. B vitamins, you know, I would definitely say that she's been running this way for a while, and the B vitamins are critical. B6, especially if we find out that she has a good high cholesterol, then really pushing that B6, B5, especially to help it convert downstream. If it's low, then it's looking at what's going on in her liver that she's not making enough issues.
Right. We talked to her about her liver as well.
Yeah. You know, so you don't need to eat cholesterol to make cholesterol, but you need to eat fat to make cholesterol. And a lot of people go on a super low fat diets, and there's just not enough fatty acids to convert into essentials. So
she does eat some animal product, because when I asked her about what she eats, let me go back here.
Organic, I'm assuming.
I can tell you that's what she says. She's really big on the, you know, non-GMO and organic and everything. Mm-hmm,
that's
like that.
Good. Yeah.
So, and she eats mainly cooked because she runs cold. Mm-hmm. Cause I had asked her because she says she drinks a lot of water, but she's not absorbing it. And so we talked about, you know, the yin deficiency that you're not absorbing. That type of thing, in terms of TCM. And let's see, her food that she eats. Okay, she has a green juice and with protein in the morning, greens with protein, meat, quinoa, avocado, maybe hummus, maybe green smoothie or herbal tea for lunch. Dinner, she's not usually hungry, and so maybe something light. She's taking zinc and selenium. She makes her own fresh hemp seed milk. Lots of greens, green vegetables, fresh green juices. Her Purim shake has things like greens, mushrooms, enzymes, pea protein. She is eating fresh fruit between meals as a snack. She eats organic wild caught fish, chicken and turkey. Her glucose is 76. So I wasn't I didn't consider that as, you know, when people say I eat fruit for snacks, I want to say, why are you eating a snack? But I didn't.
Right. Well, some people, if she is underweight, then they're trying to keep their weight on. And that's why people do a lot. Yeah. So she's, her DHEA testosterone ratio is a little bit low. So she's not converting as much of the DHEA. So whenever you're seeing pathways like this or the oat test or whatever, and you're seeing this is high, this is low, the favorite way of mine to do it is to lay my chart out on my table. And I just rearranged my office, so I don't know exactly where my chart is, but I'm going to put them back in a binder and have them in.
And that's what I did too. Chart. That's what started me on all the questions with her.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking at what would decrease it? What's the enzyme that takes DHEA down to testosterone? And is there a deficiency there? It could be a genetic. That's just not as robust as it could be. The progesterone is decent compared to everything else, right? If you look at where the progesterone and DHEA, but where are progesterone
and DHEA?
Higher up.
I was listening to a case study, and I didn't get a chance to. I tend to listen for 5 minutes, and then something else calls my attention. But I remember he was saying there was something about, I want to say, the estrogens with the DHEA may look. It may look like it's good, but the other two are what's compensating for it. And I can't remember if it was.
Well, compensating meaning that, you know, because DHEA is higher in the chain, right?
Right.
And so is progesterone. They're higher in the chain than these others. So it's like there's a blockage happening in getting those. And cortisol's lower in the chain. So all the lower down in the chain. So it really helps to start to look at that diagram that's in here, you know, a few pages later. And it gives you the SNPs as well. And maybe there's some issues with particular SNPs that she's got a heterozygous or even a homozygous or even a heterozygous on that's causing that disruption. And then you want to always look at cofactors. That's your big thing. And if she has low absorption low minerals, right? Low B vitamins, she's going to have difficulty with this. So in cases like this where she's already eating really well, you just have to make sure she's getting all the things she needs, but working on the digestion and the stomach acid is going to be an important piece here. And there's something else I was going to say. Fortifying her, right? This is the case. She's already doing a lot, right, with the shake and putting all the stuff in it, but looking to see. And if the other clue you said was water, like she's drinking a lot, but she's not feeling hydrated. So there's the remineral drops and there's the little, there's all kinds of things like that, for it, especially when we're drinking. We all are so good about purifying our water, which is great. But on the other hand, the purification process takes the spin in the natural, lining up of the molecules and shifts it around. So they do get harder to get into the cells. So something even, you know, those crystal wands or the circussing it, I think Gabriel Cousins talks about laying the water out in the moonlight and then shaking it up real well. I mean, to do things to reinvigorate the water and get it in. And then there's the, I think it's energetics. Apex. I was trying to remember that the other day. No, just as energetics that has a rehydration drops.
Homeopathic drops.
Yeah, homeopathic. So that kind of stuff to just help the body to be able to absorb more. So I think you really hit it where she needs to absorb more. Because if you look at her numbers, not the ratios aren't bad. You know, it's not quite one-to-one. The estriol can be a little bit higher. So then you look at, well, what helps estriol to be produced, right? And oftentimes it's iodine deficiency. So when the estriol, when you want a more robust estriol in relation to estradiol and estrone, looking at iodine deficiency, maybe just getting her to add some kelp powder, sea vegetables, et cetera, to her regime. Her ratios are fine, actually. Her ratios are fine. They're robust. Lots of 2-OH, very little for on the low side of the 16, but not so low that I'd be starting to worry about osteoporosis, but using some of those bone boosting herbs could be helpful. Especially things like nettles, because nettle is so stuff like nettle, which is so robust, and having her do a nettle infusion and then throw the pulp into her smoothie, drinking that throughout the day to get some extra minerals. Will help protect her bones, but also get her those extra minerals in her system in an easy, you know, to absorb way. Nettle infusions do great. But I like to do a nettle infusion, get as much in the water, and then still use the pulp because it still has so many of the structural. When we look at, or again, if you're looking at going from the 4-OH and the 2-OH, you're looking at this, gives you the pathways right here, right? So the CYP1B1 versus the CYP1A1. So if somebody has a SNP in the 1A1, which is involved with estrogen metabolism, it's also involved with caffeine. So asking her about caffeine intake, right? And then
I don't know.
Methylation seems fine. Like if you look at the ratio between 2-hydroxy and 2-methoxy, it seems fine. So her methylation activity does seem pretty fine.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yep.
This is the new report. It's a little bit different. Anybody else have anything to add or ask here? Besides the cholesterol levels, of course, she's tanked.
Tanked.
So I would do anything you can that supports stage 3, right?
Yep.
Stage 3. She's not open to taking, doesn't sound like she'd be wanting to take DHEA or pregnenolone, but looking at the herbs, looking at the herbs that are going to support that, looking at, ashwagandha, licorice root, right? As long as she doesn't get hyper, have her do some licorice tea. But this is clearly a clear stage 3. Her MMA, so this is the new organic acids. I looked at this the other day with you. The MMA, which is the B12, it's within range. The xanthurate, which is a B6 marker, is within range. It's on the little bit on the lower side. Maybe high if deficient. No, that's one of the opposites. So pyroglutamate is a marker for the glutathione, and it's within range and it's decent. Homovanillate, which is a dopamine metabolite, is at the low end of the range. Norepinephrine within range. So the only ones she really has an issue with are the dopamine and serotonin, both 5-HIA and the HVA. Right. And her melatonin seems good. How's her sleep? How's her moods?
She tends to be a little more on the, I want to say, the morose side of life. Mm-hmm. But I understand. It's like, life sucks and I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah. Yeah. So some maybe even mood elevation type things would be helpful for her, like in a tea form, right? Mm-hmm. Some really gentle soothing, play around with them, have her play with passion flower, have her play with lemon balm and milky oat and, right. Some of those more uplifting type of things. The other one that might be helpful would be Schizandra berry.
Yeah.
So I would be looking at that. You need to nourish her and support her. She's in the tank.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why I was reaching out. I usually, I just cursorily go through Facebook. I don't spend a lot of time on it with that. And that's why I reached out to her.
Yeah. Yeah. So support pathway.
Yeah. Power breathing. Yep. Oh, we did go through that. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I use my Laura Fine. Where's your breath?
Absolutely. Where's your breath? Right? Where's your breath? And just emphasize that lengthening the exhale. And before meals, that pre-meal ritual, that appreciation, lengthen the exhale.
Right? Yes.
Something interrupts her. Don't just keep eating. Do it again.
Right. Exactly.
Because she's not getting the full bulk out of her food.
Right. Yeah. And, and especially if she knows and she's had it for years, is the Epstein-Barr virus.
Right.
That's going to interfere with her absorption. So I was thinking, like the cat's claw and so forth.
Yep.
The celery juice. The
celery juice, things like that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And bitters, if she's willing to just do that. Yep. She juices. So have her save a little bit of her juice and then just gargle and swish with it for 10 minutes before she eats and to get the juices flowing.
And it sounded like she had that damp heat, so mm-hmm. it was things that would dry that up. So the adduki beans are good for that damp heat. Celery is a bitter, the arugula, the dandelion. Mm-hmm.
You may want to watch with the ashwagandha then, because ashwagandha it can be heating.
Exactly. And the same too with actually, because she's already running cold, is to be careful with dandelion and arugula, because they can sometimes.
Wait, you just said she was heat. She said damp heat.
She's got damp heat internally, but she is cold
on the external.
On the external, yeah, because she said she runs between that hot and cold.
Okay.
And so, so I just told her, to the arugula and the dandelion, just watch how you do with it, because they can sometimes contribute to that cold.
Yeah. And has she had her thyroid checked?
No, I had actually written that down. Most of the it's just been Facebook Messenger that we've been talking. So we're scheduled to meet Monday afternoon.
I'm sure you do. But looking at thyroid, and then maybe ashwagandha would be good if she's both ways, because ashwagandha is so
it's an adaptogen.
Either way, it's just somebody who's super hot, it could aggravate it, but this could be
she would,
because it would that balance thyroid and adrenal and liver.
Yeah. How far is Denton, Texas from you? I think Denton? It's a ways.
It's about 4 hours.
Maybe I can get her to come to
Dallas.
She lives in Denton.
Oh yeah, so far. I mean, it's 3.5 to 4 hours. It's the Dallas area. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. So. Good job.
Hey,
yeah.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Huh? All right. Okay. All right. So we'll go back to Violaine. That's not you. That's you. Okay. you're not quite as depleted as Lynn's person. Thank goodness. Now that we're looking at you, we're like, yeah, she's not too bad. No.
But,
yeah, you're making a lot and you don't have as much free compared to what you're making.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Your DHA looks decent. Let's see. You're pregnenolone. To progesterone is super low. So all of these are your metabolites of progesterone. Let's see, DHEA. Everything's kind of low. Why did that DHEA on the first page show? What were they showing here? Was I not looking at it? Oh, the total DHEA production versus the DHEA sulfate, the active form.
Yeah, that's the one thing they definitely recommended I take.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If we look at your estrogens, they're all really low. Every single last one of them is really low. So it's hard to really tell when it's that low, if there's a metabolic issue with the estriol being, you know, higher because it's just all so low. Hmm. 16 is super low. The four is actually proportionally, it's a little higher. It's about the same. It's a little higher. The 7.4 compared to 12.2 with the range of 13. And you're two. So hard to really tell anything about the ratios here. Methylation wise, you're not methylating well. Have you done genetics? You're not methylating well. You probably have some COMT.
Yeah, I have some COMT. So I take B12. That's pretty much it.
What about folate?
P5P also, but I've been very irregular.
Okay, so get regular with that again.
Yeah.
Get regular with vitamin C to support this. How are you doing diet-wise and exercise and all those pieces? Diet? Mm-hmm. You've been falling off on the diet, or is the diet remaining good?
It's pretty good. It's not not extremely balanced. I'll say I'm not balancing every day my greens, my protein. I go with whatever I feel like eating. I'm not really balancing my plate. Sometimes I probably miss protein. Mm-hmm. And then I probably have too much other time. So
okay. So now that you see this.
And then my fats, now I have to, it's pretty clean, but it's balanced wise. I have to watch.
Look at your 6-3s and make sure you're getting enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I got myself some supplement, omega supplement.
Okay. So what's your take on this, and what's your take on what you want to do as the next step?
Well, for me, what's bothering me is anxiety. So I'm not showing any signs of depression. So I have anxiety. So is it because my cortisol, I'm creating a lot of cortisol? I think I need to figure out, because that's my big...
No, you're not creating a lot of cortisol.
But where was I showing that I'm making? Where was that?
Well, it's making, but it's not made to free. It's not too much. You're just...
Okay, yeah.
You're eliminating it.
Okay. So why do I feel... Yeah, I need to figure out why I have anxiety. Is it because of that or the methylation? I don't know. I'm not sure where to go to work on my anxiety. And if there's anything else here that...
Well, the serotonin markers.
The serotonin, yes.
Serotonin and norepinephrine are low, and the dopamine is a little on the high side. So that could create anxiety for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done 5-HTP or any other neurotransmitter support?
No, I have not done any work. I think that's what I need to do. I need to really look into my neurotransmitter and get on my own supplement. I have a hard time getting like supplement and taking them, and you know. So I need to set myself a little plan.
Yeah, set them in a place where you're going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're not going to miss them, like on the kitchen counter, or don't have them hidden away in your cupboard or your medicine cabinet or your bathroom. Have it in places you're going to see throughout the day. And you're like, oh, yeah, I got to take them now. Oh, yeah, I got to take them now.
So I would take 5-HTP?
You could. You could give that a try. 5-HTP, make sure you're taking P5P with it. I usually like to have a little bit of tyrosine when I supplement somebody with 5-HTP. So I'll do maybe... you could start with 50. Do you have any trouble sleeping? Or what time of day is the anxiety worst?
Lately, I have, it's when I need to perform and to really do things.
Mm-hmm.
And, at night, no, I may wake, actually, I may wake up with anxiety first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm. What does the anxiety feel like? Is it the palpitations? Is it just a feeling of overwhelm?
Yeah, feeling of overwhelm. Okay. Feeling of overwhelm and lack of focus. Yeah.
So what you might try is...
My brain is all over the place.
Might try a little bit of... and you'll have to play with dosing and the timing of the dosing. Keep hearing a ringing. I don't know what it is. So you can try a little bit of 5-HTP at night. Just make sure it doesn't have the opposite effect. So maybe 50 milligrams before you go to sleep. Have your B6 with it. And then see if you wake up in the morning feeling a little bit more calm. I don't like, if you're going to do it long-term, I'd want to add some tyrosine so you don't deplete the dopamine pathway, but I think you'd be okay here. And then look at doing another dose of it, say, I don't know, mid-afternoon.
Okay.
And then if that, you know, otherwise you can try it, you know, try it in the morning. Just try it at different times, but start with bedtime and then add a second dose at mid-afternoon. Then you can add a third dose in the morning and just play around and see how it feels before you go to bed. I mean, do some calming things, right? You have a lot of kids. Not a lot, but you have three, right? You have three kids.
Well, I have two right now. I have one that's out of the house.
Okay, so you have two. I'm one.
Yeah, and I have a lot of, they're crazy. Yeah. I mean, they're crazy. My youngest son is having a lot of issues, actually. It's very stressful with them. And my daughter has been having seizures, so we never know what the day's going to be like. So
I would definitely...
Even though I feel like I control it, I don't, like, over panic. I probably do.
Yeah, well, internally, probably, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that getting back to what you were doing before with the DHEA pregnenolone, I would consider yourself in stage 3.
Okay.
Two to three, right?
So I went back on like 15 and 3. 15 pregnenolone drops and 3 DHEA.
Okay. And then whatever you were doing before, because you really did, you got great results before. So I would go back and don't try to reinvent the wheel. With your adrenal protocol, go back there. Add a little bit of the 5-HTP, maybe some of those calming kind of herbs. The lemon balm comes to mind. Lemon balm. You got to be careful with rhodiola. Schisandra berry. Schisandra berry tends to be really like a great calm, soothe type of an herb.
I tried rhodiola. It was not too bad.
You got to be careful with rhodiola because if you go too low a dose, it can cause you to become more anxious.
Oh, okay.
It's the opposite. So some people will say, I'll just try a little bit, and then they're more anxious, right? So you got to be careful with rhodiola that way. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, it's weird because I do have fatigue with anxiety. That's what I have.
Yeah.
So that's kind of tough to, because get started in the morning and yeah, it's hard. I'm like, ugh, I want to get out of bed, but I'm sitting with it, some sort of agitation.
Yeah. So try the 5-HTP, try some soothing herbs at bedtime, play around with them, see what makes it go. I know you tend to have, your mind tends to go, you know, blah, blah, this thing and that thing and the other thing. So I would say give passion flower a try.
And okay.
That could be a good one.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and your vitamin C and your B vitamins, and just make sure that those levels are up. And you know, we're looking at this in a vacuum. We're not looking at this as a whole picture. Typically, you're going to look at these with the whole big picture, with all the labs and stuff like that. But you need to, you know, get back to prioritizing your self-care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's fine. I'll get back to taking my supplement. That will be okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How are we doing on time? I think we're just about at the end. I'll do a quick look at, anybody else have questions other than these labs that came in? Let's just, go there. And then if not, then I'll go back and do a quickie on Isabel's other person.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I think it's quick. It got my brain started thinking yesterday when I saw a lady who was mostly bald, probably 65 to 75 years old, mostly bald. And I was wondering, what are your first thoughts when you see that? What kind of a route do you take your mind to think what might be going on? Is it like testosterone or?
Well, I mean, DHT comes to mind because DHT is what causes male pattern baldness, and it can cause female pattern baldness as well. So looking at high levels of DHT, is she overweight or not overweight?
She's overweight a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would look at insulin resistance for sure. But I would look at thyroid and adrenal function and, even liver. I mean, with just seeing that, it's hard to say, but if it's that male pattern baldness where it's coming like this way from the front back or it is was it more the back?
She had the hair in the lower back, and then the whole crown was pretty much really, really thin.
Yeah, I mean, a test like this could be helpful because I would look at that. But of course, you want to look at the foundations first. What is she eating? What is she drinking? And autoimmune. I mean, there could be an alopecia. What's that? There's a specific I'm drawing a blank, but it's an alopecia that's autoimmune. So it could be autoimmune, could be adrenal thyroid. But the thing, like when you said it, I thought DHT, elevated levels of DHT.
Okay, thank you. I just met her at the hair place yesterday, and that just got my brain thinking.
Oh, yeah. Did she say anything about it? I bet that's very disturbing.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
No, no. Sometimes people say, you know, at the hairdresser, they just start, oh, God, I can't wait to get that. What am I going to do? I got to get a wig.
Nettles is really good for baldness.
What's that?
A nettle infusion is really good for baldness.
Nettle infusion is really good for just so many things because it's just so full of good nutrients. And is it high enough?
We need to have conversations with our nettles.
I think they're wonderful. Just, you know, and people like don't like them because they sting, right? And so they get a bad rap as being these bad plants, and they're actually just amazing. Totally amazing. A biotin deficiency. That's another thing that causes the thinning and the hair loss.
Okay. Thank you. I just needed something to kind of chew on.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to see her again and post?
I'm pretty good friends with the hairdresser, and she thinks I'm wonderful with all of this health stuff.
Oh, good.
I wasn't going to open my mouth on that one yesterday.
No. That's not something. That's like when you see somebody and they have a big belly and you think, wow, they gained weight. Are they pregnant? And then you find out, no, they just gained weight. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me check my calendar. I think I have another call. I think I have like a half hour gap before my next call. So get to some food. Let me go through this. Isabel, are you still on?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. So this person, 58-year-old female, am I on the right one?
Yes.
Okay. So what's her deal?
So she's general. She eats pretty healthy. So I started working with her about a month ago. So she was still on a little bit of higher carbohydrates. So she's taken that out. So she eats everything organic, everything wild caught. And she's under stress. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Her son and work and she recently had to go through, she had hip surgery coming up. Mm-hmm. She's been exercising all her life. So I think she torn something while playing tennis. So that kind of caused problem.
Overweight, underweight, normal?
She's about 15, 20 pound overweight. Not too bad, but a little bit overweight. And it's fatigue sometimes, not too bad, good energy level.
What's her chief complaint? What prompted her?
Pain. Pain and just wanted to feel better, eat better. And she knows she's in her 60s, so she knows she got to take care of herself.
Yeah.
So okay. With the inflammation, because she's, she has aches and pains and because she's going through surgery, maybe that's in the picture that she wants to calm inflammation and lose weight. And her doctor tell her it would be better if you lose weight.
Okay, great. All right. So what are you seeing here?
So I'm seeing that she is the total cortisol production that she is producing more than she could get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And she's using up like more than the average.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, her from the graph, it looks pretty good. She's a little bit low in the afternoon, but otherwise she's pretty balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's fairly balanced. That afternoon it hits down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But what are you seeing up top?
On top, well, she's menopause, in her menopause. So that's the menopause range.
Right, but she's, look at where she is in the menopause range, right? The menopause range goes from the purple to the star.
Oh, so she's pretty low.
She's low in the menopause range.
So, yeah, I wasn't sure if it was just in the purple, that's the range, or the purple to the star.
Yeah, and it could be a pregnenol on steel that she's pulling it down to keep her energy up because, especially at that age, right, you're in menopause, you don't need – body preferential really will get you away from tigers than get you making babies. So that those would be low as a result of the stress pieces. Does she have stress transformation practices in place?
She has some. She does some meditation. I've introduced her to do simple heart math like you taught us. So we have her she's not meditating, but she's taking more breaks and breathe more, just deep breathing.
Yeah. Okay. So progesterone super low as well. So she's menopausal. Her ratios are fine, right? If you look at estrone, estradiol, and estriol, her estriol is like, wait, I was looking at 0.3, never mind, 3.33. So it's close to being okay, but it's still a little bit on the low side. I like to see the estriol equal to the sum of the estrone and the estradiol. And so sometimes they're all real low, so it's hard to tell whether there is an issue there. But sometimes we're looking at iodine deficiency. And I see iodine deficiency a lot because people just don't eat sea vegetables and things that have it in there. So that could be a helpful piece.
Okay.
And her ratios are good. A little bit low on the 16. And again, we're going to bring up our old friend nettles again. That nettles horsetail alfalfa is phenomenal for bone protection. And that's where the 16, if the 16 gets too low in relationship to the 4, they tend to lose some of the bone protection. So that would be a good thing to do. And just for remineralization, is one of those amazing things.
Okay. So is there a particular brand or particular?
Yeah, I usually you can buy them bulk. I usually buy them bulk from Mountain Rose.
Okay, so the herb, the actual herb.
Yes, no, it's not tinctures. No, you're not going to get it in tincture. And if you take it in capsules, you're going to have to take a lot of capsules to get what they need. So she can throw it loose into a smoothie. Just if you get her drinking smoothies or juices or sauces mm-hmm. or whatever, she can just add it to it. Okay. She can make an infusion and drink the infusion. But then I would use the bulk, the leaves that have been soaked and put them into something because there's so much nutrition in them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, her methylation, it's, again, it's hard to tell, but it looks a little bit low. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely looks a little bit low. So she may have some issues with COMT, but she may have just need some methyl cofactors.
Okay.
Right. So, but just looking at her B vitamins overall and...
She's taking this she has this multivitamin that she's been taking for years.
Does she do much in the way of green leafy vegetables, raw?
Yes, she does. She's doing more now.
Okay. Yeah, you want to get those pathways moving up. I would be looking at her labs because you can't really tell a lot from here. You just know that it's a little bit down. You don't know why. But I'd be looking at her blood labs if you can and just see what's in there. How's her MCV looking? To see if there's some sign there, homocysteine, things like that.
Okay.
But yeah, methylation's a little bit low. And she's fairly equal in her cortisone, cortisol.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying because her cortisol and cortisol looks, it's a bit of overproduction and she might be pulling, using that.
Yeah, she's most likely pulling it. I mean, she's not so much that I would say, hey, she's stage one, you got to calm it down.
Okay.
But I think that it's replenishing. So the B vitamins and the zinc and the vitamin C, you know, you can do it with food, you can do it with nutrients, but the C is being used up a lot. So really supporting that. And I think getting her doing more of the heart math and regular basis. When she sits down to eat, make sure she's doing that breathing and the appreciation and the stuff to get her in that parasympathetic.
Okay.
You know, however often she could just get herself into parasympathetic mm-hmm. is going to be better. And then does she have any difficulty? It doesn't look like sleep difficulty.
No, she doesn't have difficulty sleeping.
Fine with sleep, fine with the... oxidative stress. Everything, let's see, glutathione. And that also, if you look back on the balance between the fours and the twos, that makes a difference. So she's a little low on the glutathione. There, you know, the glutathione containing foods, right? So mm-hmm. foods that either contain or promote glutathione production, the sulfur containing vegetables, avocado, broccoli, good sources.
Yeah.
And she's got a little neurotransmitter. Does she have any tendency to depression?
No.
Overwhelm?
Yeah. Well, she's not, no indication so far.
No anxiety situation?
She does, yes. Anxiety.
Anxiety. Okay, yeah, that would be the serotonin.
Okay.
That could be serotonin. That could be contributing factor. And again, I'm not quick to jump into doing neurotransmitter type stuff unless it's a serious issue because so many times balancing the rest of it, getting her on good probiotics, getting her gut flora balanced because it's so important for the, and that's the same with the Elaine and the other person that we talked about before. You really want to get them, the gut is really critical, right? Making sure that the stomach acid, the enzymes and the flora are all working in range.
Yeah, she doesn't have any apparent stomach issues, like no acid reflux, no indigestion, gas bloating, any of that sort.
Yeah, but as we know, that doesn't mean she doesn't have digestive problems, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It can contribute to the energy. So so balancing that can be helpful for just, you know, getting her on a good probiotic or teaching her how to make kefir, sauerkraut, yogurt, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
All right, let's see. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I thought her report then was pretty, not too bad.
Yeah, and I would love to see those estrogens come up, but she's not having hot flash. I mean, no, you don't want to give her hormone supplementation, mm-hmm. but you want to promote those in the good way. Cruciferous vegetables, that's going to promote more of the methylation.
Flaxseed, right?
Flax seeds, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
All right, guys. Anybody else? Questions or comments or any additions there?
I have a question with the hot flashes because I'm having them.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot right now.
Yeah, so all the stuff we talked about, right? Yeah, obviously, you're having a lot because your levels are so low and they're probably fluctuating. So the stuff we talked about, if you want to, that's going to get to the root. If you want some Band-Aid kind of approaches to hot flashes, which most people want because they're not fun, play around with some of those other herbs. Do you have any constipation issues? Or
yeah.
You do? Okay.
I tend to be constipated, yeah.
Then look at Dong Quai as a possibility, Angelica sinensis. As an herb. Some people do really well with, of course, the standard stuff like black cohosh. But Angelica sinensis, which is Dong Quai, is very good for people who have what they call in Chinese medicine a dry constipation.
I heard about it, but I didn't know about the constipation.
Yeah. Mm. And that's how it helps, because it helps support the estrogen metabolism in the liver.
So those hot flashes, they're going to go eventually?
Well, if you get yourself in balance, they should go. Yeah.
So what it's the estrogen and the progesterone?
Yeah, so getting back on those herbs can help a lot because you're providing precursors, right? You're providing precursors. You could look at progesterone. I had to go back to yours. I closed it. But if you're you can always play with recommending a topical progesterone for people, except the person that Isabel's first person is, you know, had very high testosterone, progesterone. But if they're on the lower end, even if it's not in the toilet low like yours is, progesterone could be helpful. Pregnenolone might be helpful as well because you've done it. Well, this isn't you. But so progesterone could be good as a cream. Biomatrix now sells the progesterone drops again. So you can try that and play with the dose.
Oh, they do.
They took them off for a while. It does say topical drops, and I think it's a legal thing. But I've looked at the ingredients and kind of gotten them to hint at the fact that it's definitely safe to take internally. They just had to label it a topical. So if you recommend it to anybody, you always recommend it as a topical. They can apply it to the vulva. They can apply it to the wrists and stuff like that. You might try that too, because applying it to the vulva can get it absorbed really well.
And is that better than taking Dr. Anacabeca? Dr. Anacabeca has got some stuff. She's got some good stuff too.
She's got a progesterone that's combined with pregnenolone.
And would that be okay to take if I take the pregnenolone?
I don't think you'll get too much. You can always back down a little bit on the pregnenolone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See how you feel. I had somebody who they controlled their hot flashes completely with pregnenolone.
Oh, okay. Well, I just started it again 2 days ago. So.
And it was higher doses than what you're doing. They got up to like a total of 100 over the course of the day. But that's why, you know, you can do the drops. You can add the topical.
Okay. All right. I got some things to play with. Thank you. I don't mind the hot flashes because it's cold and I tend to be cold. So it's like, oh, the radiator.
Oh, yeah. Going ahead. Yeah, warm. I remember
I sweat easily. So I'm like, oh, I'm getting a sweat. I feel like I'm detoxing.
You don't mind them, then just deal with it until you get it balanced. I remember saying
it gets
a few
really
times.
Hot.
Yeah, then you won't want it. I remember saying a few times, because I never had a hot flash, and I was like, wow, I wish I would have had a hot flash sometimes. As soon as the weather gets cold, I'm looking for something to warm me up.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the minimum amount to drink as an impact from the tea? I like to do approximately, you know, 2 to 3 teaspoons a day. Like, so if you have a tea, 2 to 3 cups would be fine. Yeah.
The thing with nettles, though, you can drink too much. So you do want to be careful, watch yourself. And then I tell people to just make sure you drink enough water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plenty of water.
Good. Well, Lynn, what are we looking for when you say too much? What signs are we looking for? I'm asking for my husband because he drinks a ton of it.
Yeah, how much is he putting in it too? So that makes a difference. So if somebody's making a dilute tea and they're drinking a quart of it, but they just put a teaspoon in the whole quart, it's not much, right?
Green as the grass.
Green. Yeah, usually you do like a teaspoon per 8 ounces. So signs of drying, right? Signs of his skin getting dry, signs of his mouth being dry, signs of excessive thirst.
All that.
Right. The thirst. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, ladies.
All right. Thank you. You have had them for 18 years, Lynn Rose, hot flashes? You still have them?
Yeah. She said it was predicated, or she had a hysterectomy before that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, isn't there a homeopathic for that? Okay. That's what got it. Yeah, vitamin E, if you're low in vitamin E, I mean, everything is good for hot flashes if you're balancing an imbalance. So the point is to find what the imbalances are. We've picked up a few here. Check with the gut flora, play with the probiotics, all that kind of stuff. Okay? Well, I'm going to run so I can get a little bit of a break before my next call and get some food. Let's see if there's anything else. Jolva is good, yeah. I've used Jolva, but not consistently enough to know if there's any change to it. She sent me a tube, so I said I'll try it. But I tried it, but not regularly. Nettles do have more minerals than just water. Yes, for sure. Oh, you are in a homeopath then. Ugh, that's right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, where's my, how do I do this? Stop share and end meeting.